Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Thankful to be in the house of God again. And maybe we'll stand for a word of prayer again. Our Father, which art in heaven, we pause before you this morning. We look to you for grace. We look to you, O God. We will worship you. We bless you. We praise you for all your wonderful works to man. Thank you, Lord, that you are our God. And we want to walk with you and serve you, obey you, live for you all the days of our life. Bless us as we share together this morning. Speak to our hearts and draw us closer to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been quite a while since I've shared a message, and I want to say thank you to the ministry that's released me from that responsibility over the last 6 or 8 months. It's been, seems like I have my stress limitations, and I feel that it's been a blessing to be able to focus on other things and to be free from this responsibility over that time. And we just want to share again this morning what God's laid in our hearts. And I trust that we can be blessed and edified together this morning. I don't know. I had a hard time coming up with the title for my message this morning. It has to do with our relationships with God. And I don't know what to necessarily... I guess that's the only thing I could come up with as far as a title, is our relationship with God. Thinking of our relationship with God, does the thought of being a servant relationship with God, is that your thought of, as are your relationship with God, is that of a servant or that of a slave? Which of those terms fits your thought as to your relationship with God? That of a servant or that of a slave? Someone answer that. Servant. A son. Okay. That is true. That is very true. I want to read a few verses. I want to read a few verses here in relation to that question. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit." In Acts 20, verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And in 1 Peter, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So in one sense, we are a purchased possession. God owns us. More like a person would own a slave. We were purchased. We were bought. We are His. Now, a servant is usually looked at as someone that is paid for their service. Someone that works in a home and is paid for serving, a hired servant. That's not our relationship with God. We are His possession. We belong to Him. I ran on to an interesting study. Now, I know when we say slave, it has all kinds of negative thoughts. A slave is a very negative thing in our culture. And that doesn't fit our thought of our relationship with God. But in the original Greek and Hebrew Bible, there's a word, I'm going to write it up here. D-O-U-L-O-S. And that word is slave. That's the actual interpretation of that word. It is slave. It means one that was purchased, one that is owned by another. And that word is used very much throughout the Bible. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the King James Old Testament, that word appears, in the Old Testament, it appears 800 times. But in the King James Version, it's only translated slave one time. And in the New Testament, it appears over 150 times. And it was also only translated slave one time in the New Testament. And that took place back in the 16th century whenever Calvin and John Knox translated the Geneva Bible. They did not like the term slave, and they translated L as servant rather than slave. And if you really study the word servant and slave, it does have a different meaning, because a servant is one that is hired to work and is paid for their work. But a child of God has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ and belongs to, it is the purchased possession of God. And we are more like a slave than we are a servant. According to that, in the original translation in the Bible, it used the word slave very freely in describing our relationship with God. And I know, like I said, it's a very negative term, and that's the reason they changed it, is because of the negative. And they said it's too negative, it's too humiliating, it's too belittling to use the term slave in our relationship to God. And in the way we think of slave, it is very much so. But the fact that our relationship is that of a purchased possession, one that we belong to God, we are not our own. Ye are not your own, but ye are God's. We are God's possession, and we were talking this morning about how God takes us through suffering. He does things with us. He takes us through experiences that are difficult. He refines us and purifies us and sanctifies us. And as we yield ourselves to God, as we acknowledge Him as our Lord and Master, and we allow Him to have free access to our life, He does with us whatever is what He sees best. He does with us whatever is good for us, whatever is right for us. And that is that of when you think of, you know, a slave and his master, not always were those relationships terrible. You know, there were loving relationships between masters and their slaves, those that were part of them. And the Bible talks about that one place of a loving relationship where the slave would not leave whenever he was given the liberty to do so because he loved his master and wanted to stay. That's when we think of a slave, we think of someone that's a cruel slave master that owns these people and treats them cruelly for the sake of their own gain and benefit. But that's not the kind of a relationship we're talking about with God. It's totally the opposite. It's totally, we need to look at who God is and what He is. And our relationship with Him in that way, it is a beautiful relationship. It is something that is so much, it's so overwhelmingly impressive to be a part of God's kingdom, a part of God's project. We are a part of His plan. We are a part of His working. That's the relationship that we have with God. There's also a term that is a mate word that goes with the thought of being the word slave. The other word is K-U-R-I-O-S, which means master or lord or slave owner. And we're not afraid to use the term Lord and Master. We call Him Lord. And it's necessary that we confess Jesus Christ as Lord in order for our salvation. In order to say that Jesus Christ is Lord, it's part of our salvation experience. And by saying that He is Lord and He is Master, we're confessing that we are slaves. We are His. We're giving ourselves to Him. We're saying that we are His possession. He is our Lord. He is our Master. If Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Master, then we are His purchased possession. We belong to Him. We are not our own. We are His. He is Lord and Master of our life. And that's a part, that's something that's required for our salvation, is to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord of our life. He is the owner of our life. He is the one, the supreme authority of our life. That is what a slave owner is. He owns his subjects. He's not, they don't just work for Him. He owns them. He's responsible for them, and He has full supreme authority with them. And that is our relationship with God. It's more than just that we are accountable to Him, and we don't just work for Him. We are His. We belong to Him. We are His purchased possession this morning. He is Lord and Master of our life. And Philippians says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and of things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord, acknowledging that we are His subjects. We are under Him. We are totally accountable to Him. He is the supreme authority in our life today. So I thought that was very interesting. Not that I like the word slave either. I don't like that word either necessarily, because of what it means and because of what it is in our culture. We don't promote the idea of slavery, but we do see that in our relationship with God, it is a purchased possession. He bought us with His blood. We belong to Him, and all that is His is ours, and all that is ours, all of us is His. We belong to Him solely and completely. Like I said, I'm going to read about the slave relationship in Exodus chapter 21. It says, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, it says 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh year he shall go out free for nothing. And if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. And if he be married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master give him a wife, And she hath borne him some sons and daughters. His wife and his daughters shall be his masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges, and he shall also bring him unto the door and unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. I believe this is a beautiful picture of our relationship, the love relationship that we have with God. Our master, our Lord, has purchased us. We belong to him. And because of God's love, God first loved us. And because of his loving relationship with us, it is the motivation of our heart to pour our life into him and to walk with him and to serve him all the days of our life. We don't want to depart from that type of a master. We don't want to go out from that type of an owner. We want to serve him. We want to walk with him. We want to serve him all the days of our life. God is love. He's nothing but love. That loving relationship. He said our relationship with our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Lord and Master, it's based on an unconditional love. We love him because he first loved us. Our loving Lord and Master is committed to providing for us beyond what we can even imagine. He protects us and cares for us in so many ways. We who have trusted, we who have tasted of God's love and know what there is no other relationship more fulfilling. You can have a loving master that is all-wise, compassionate, generous, powerful, resourceful, protective, kind, merciful, forgiving. And one who takes you from being a slave to being a friend. And from a friend to being a son. And from a son to being a joint heir. And from a joint heir to be a citizen of his kingdom in glory. That's the kind of a love relationship we have with our Almighty God, our Father, who purchased us. He bought us not only as a being a part of being one of His, but He has made us as a son and as a joint heir with Him, and as a member and citizen of His heavenly glorious kingdom. This is a kind of a God we have, a kind of a relationship that we have, a loving and a generous and compassionate God that takes us from being a purchased possession as a slave to being a friend and a son, an heir, a joint heir with him and a citizen of his glorious kingdom. That's the relationship of a loving relationship of a master, Lord and Master, and of our loving Lord and Master, the one who owns us, the one who purchased us, the one who bought us, the one who has chosen us. Praise God for that, that we can have that kind of a relationship with our Almighty God. It's not a cruel relationship. There's nothing cruel about it. There's nothing painful about it. There's nothing negative about it. It's a very positive, a very beautiful relationship. In order to come into this relationship with God, there must be a personal encounter with God. We must all have a personal encounter with God in order to come into this type of a relationship with God. Now, God has done His part. He has purchased us. He shed His blood to purchase us unto Himself. But in our natural state of man, we are separated from God. And we must come to a personal encounter with God in order to enter into that type of a relationship. I want to look into Romans chapter 5 and 6 a little bit to talk about that type of that situation. If you're here this morning and if you're not saved, You're not a child of God. You are not a part of His program. You're not in His family. You are separated from God, and you were you are not in His plan. But there is a way for you to become a part of God's family. Looking in Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read. I separated these verses into sort of a negative positive. I'm first going to read the first part is the condition of man outside of Christ, and then we'll look at the other side of it. In Romans 5:12 it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come." Verse 15, "For if through the offense of one, many be dead." Verse 16, "The judgment was by one to condemnation." Verse 17, "By one man's offense, death reigned by one." Verse 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, that as sin hath reigned, unto death." If you are not saved today, this is your condition. This is your relationship with God. You are under condemnation. You are under the curse of sin. You are under the death sentence. There is a death sentence on your life. There's a death penalty on your life because sin brings death. The result of the sin of Adam brought death penalty upon all of the human race. If you're here this morning and if you're not saved, this is your relationship with God. This is where you stand with God. Death and hell is your future outside of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. But you are the sin of Adam is upon you. It is the judgment of God is upon you. Condemnation is upon you. You are separated from God. You are outside of God. And there's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. It's black and white. Outside of Jesus Christ, you are under the condemnation of sin. You are under the penalty of death. You are separated from God. It's not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty situation. Sin has reigned unto death, and death penalty is upon everyone that is outside of Jesus Christ this morning. Now we want to go to the other side of the coin. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, there's a term there that is so beautiful. It says, "But God..." And that changes the whole picture. There's hope in that, "but God." Because God made a difference. It says, "But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. The free gift is of many offenses unto justification. They which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. By the righteousness of the one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So praise God, our hope is in Jesus Christ. God made a way through His sacrifice of His Son, through the blood that was shed on Calvary, through the redemption of our souls, through the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, that we can have access to God, that we can become a part of the paragram of God, that we can be adopted into His family, we can be redeemed, we can be bought, we can become a purchased possession that belongs to God, that we can be washed, cleansed, and saved and righteous before Him because of His finished work on the cross, because of what He did for us. It's nothing to do with how good we are or how bad we are. If we're outside of Jesus Christ, the condemnation is upon us. But as we open our hearts to God, come to Him, acknowledging our sin, repenting before Him and allowing Him to cleanse us and to save us and to wash us, it gives us a hope. It gives us life. He gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ becomes ours. The blessing of experiencing sins forgiven and justification and forgiveness and the glories of heaven are ours because of what God did for us. It's that but God that made all the difference. But God loved us. Even while we were yet sinners, He made a way. He provided for us. He gave us hope. He gave us Jesus Christ. He gave us life. He gave us redemption. He gave us salvation. Now I want to look at chapter 6 in verse 16 to verse 23. Now I want to read this. And this is one place where the word slave was translated into servant. And I'm going to read it as slave rather than servant, as being the purchased possession. It's not. Okay, I just want to read it in that way. It says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves slaves to obey, his slaves ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Now, when we talk about being a slave to sin, that fits a lot better with that rather than being a slave to God. But it's still the same implication. Many men are slaves to sin, and you know what it is to be a slave in sin. You are uncontrolled by sin. You're not able to get free. You're in bondage, and you have sin is has chains on you, and you can't get away from it. This is a slavery that is a slavery that is miserable. It's a painful situation to be a slave to sin. It says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves slaves to obey, his slaves you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the slaves of sin." Now that scripture can be translated wrong, but I don't know, it's just, God be thanked that your slavery to sin is in the past. I think we had a verse in Sunday school about that, that there's the life that we once lived in the past. It's a past thing. God be thanked that your bondage to sin is in the past. It's not something present. It's past. You were the servants of sin. It's not present anymore. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you become the slaves of righteousness. Is that what we want? To become a slave of righteousness? That's a beautiful situation. Our life is motivated and controlled by God and brings forth fruits of righteousness rather than sin. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members slaves to uncleanness, to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members slaves to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. Is that how you are today? Are you free from righteousness because you're a slave of sin? But we can be free from sin and become a slave of righteousness. It says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. There's no future in that kind of a life. There's no future in the life of sin. There's nothing to look forward to. The future of that kind of a life is death. But now being made free from sin and become the slaves of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. The gift of God. It is a gift. It's not something we work for. It's not something we earn. It's not something we have because of anything we did or any merits to us. It is a gift of God that is given to us because He loved us and He poured His life out for us and He purchased us unto Himself. It's the work of God in our life. And we come to Him acknowledging our sinfulness and receive it by faith. Worshiping God. Praise God for His wonderful love. Praise God for His grace and His peace. But you know, every one of us, individually, we must come to the place before God where we make a choice. We have to choose between life and death. Every individual has to choose between life and death. And it has to be an individual encounter with God. It's not something that you do, that you become baptized because your friends get baptized and you want to be with the rest of them. That's not good enough. That's not what God is asking for. It's not something you do because you're a certain age and now it's time to join the church. It's not about joining church. It's not about being baptized. It's not about dressing a certain way or doing a certain thing. It's about coming to God and having a personal encounter with God. It's a personal situation. You have to come to the place to acknowledge your sin, confess your sin to God, and receive Jesus Christ by faith into your heart. It's a personal choice that you have to make. It's a decision that every human being has to make in order to get right with God. We have to come to God, cry out to God, and confess our sins and repent and receive by faith His mercy and grace in our life. Every individual must make a choice to serve God. Every individual, human being, must have a personal encounter with God. In John it says, you must be born again. That's what we call being born again, that personal encounter with God. where you come to God confessing who you are and what you are and receiving Him by faith. Joshua chapter 24, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a choice, an individual choice that you have to make. You have to decide, are you going to serve the gods of the world? Are you going to serve the gods of your fathers, or the gods that the world has to offer? Or are you going to choose to serve the God of heaven? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," was Joshua's testimony. In Hebrews, it talks about Moses. It said, "By faith Moses, when he came to years, he refused to become the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Moses, he chose to follow the people of God and to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Yes, the walk with God, it has difficult experiences. It has hard places. It's not always easy. There is suffering. There is pain. There is discipline. There is the hand of God upon us. We're going to experience hard things at times. But God's grace is there with us. He provides for us. He provides grace for every situation. Everything that He brings into our life, there's grace for that. I want to read in Deuteronomy chapter 30 a few verses yet. Concerning the choice that we have to make. In verse 10 it says, "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hiding from thee, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it down to us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we should hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee. It's in thy mouth and in thine heart that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them." If your heart is turned away and you're going to worship other gods, you're going to turn away from God. He says, "I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Ye shall not prolong your days upon the earth whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record unto this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land. That's a challenge I leave with each of us this day. Choose life. Choose life. Choose Jesus Christ.